Hello.
We deliberately don't prepare because it's funnier that way, right? Sylvie, I've already implied that you weren't brought up as a Christian and that you had a very specific conversion moment. Would you like to say a little bit about that for us?
Yes, I grew up in the 60s and didn't really have an opinion, so I was easily led. And so by the time I was 22, I'd had two broken engagements. I was the life and the soul of the party, apparently, but very, very sad inside. And a new curate had come to the church that I'd been baptized and confirmed in, but didn't go to. And my mother read in the newspaper that there was a new curate from Australia. So she phoned them up. She phoned the husband and wife up, who were only a little older than me, and said, are you going to concentrate on youth? And they said, oh, yes. And she said, oh, because I have a daughter. And he said, oh, tell Sylvia to come along. And she said, well, if you don't mind, could you phone her? Because she doesn't go to church. So I got this phone call from the curate. And I didn't particularly like church people, I will say, rather than Christians. I didn't like church people.
What was it you didn't particularly like about church
people? Because the only two church families in our street used to tweak their curtains when I went by with my miniskirt and beehive hair. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I was invited to a party on Boxing Day, because I'd just broken off an engagement and I was bored stiff. So I thought, oh, well, it's better than nothing. So I went round there. And I was struck by the young people there. And they were only drinking orange juice, which was very unusual for me. And something touched me. And I felt at home and I stayed several hours. And I got home and I actually told my mum and dad where I'd been, because I hadn't told them where I was going. And that was my first first meeting, really, with real Christians. And I started gradually going along to help at Sunday school, but only cutting out things. And then invited to go to church in the evening, and there was a youth club there. And that year I decided to do a secretarial course, because I left school at 16. I'd worked in offices, which I found very boring. So this particular year I was at college doing a secretarial course. So I had a holiday at Easter. So I was invited on the youth camp. And one of the students who was at Reading University decided that he wanted to explain Christianity in great detail. And the first thing he said to me was, are you saved? And I'd never had anyone speak to me like this. And do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I was really embarrassed, because I'd never really thought about things like that. Anyway, he persisted, and on the last night of the camp, he explained John 14 to me, and he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And that you stabbed me like an arrow, and I knew that it meant me. So that night in the dormitory, I couldn't wait for the light to go out, because I knew that I had to repent. I'm saying this in Christian language. I didn't understand Christian language at the time, but looking back, that's how I can explain it. And I repented. I got under the sheet and I poured it all out to God and apologized for the way I behaved. And I felt dirty. I felt awful, but I felt a wonderful sensation. There was an advert at the time called the White Tornado, Some of you older ladies might remember it. It was like a Vim or something that cleaned the bathroom. And the white tornado, it was like, came under the sheet and whoosh, went right through me. And I knew that I was forgiven. I knew I was cleaned. It was the most wonderful experience. But I didn't know how to explain it. So the next morning, I didn't say anything, but I looked through the window of the youth hostel, which was a castle, and it was just slits where they used to do bow and arrows. And for the first time in my life, I noticed a beautiful mist. I noticed beautiful trees. I noticed beautiful flowers. And I was different, but I didn't know how to explain it. But they noticed. They asked, well, they didn't ask, but I was different. And it took a long time for me to explain it. And I was very inhibited, I suppose.
And once you'd become a Christian, how did you see all the things? Because we grew up 50s and 60s, and we were the rebellious group. And we did a lot of stuff that was wrong. So we did need forgiving. How did you feel about that once you'd become a Christian?
I was very, very glad to leave it behind, the way I've been living. Very, very glad.
And what happened that helped you to really reinforce in your life that a Christian doesn't have to live, shouldn't mix the two things? This idea of having a foot in both camps, but being dead to sin and alive to God, the subject we're looking at in chapter 6.
Well, I started mixing with the youth club rather than other friends, so it was quite easy, really.
Okay.
But I did, one of the girls who was in the youth club, and she was very helpful in the way, she was at that party on Boxing Day. Round about June, I was converted in the April, round about June, my parents, or July perhaps, my parents went on holiday, so this girl came and stayed with me. And she said, why don't we go out dancing to Richmond on Friday? Now, I'd spent a lot of time dancing in Richmond and Purley and Hammersmith, and I knew all the local dance halls. And I thought, I was a bit surprised. She said, oh, shall we go to the castle at Richmond? And I thought, well. But because she was a Christian, although I wasn't, my heart wasn't in it, we agreed to go off to dance on the Friday. And so we met two boys, and then we were separated. So I had to come back with one, and I don't know what happened to her. But something very, very unfortunate happened. As soon as we got into my house, the worst happened. I'm not going to say the word, but... And I was devastated. I threw him out. I had great authority. I threw him out. But then I had to really ask God's forgiveness and plead with him. And I felt dreadful. I read those words in the first chorus, and it said, shame was undone. And that's how I felt. I pleaded with God. I asked for great forgiveness. But through that experience, I learned a great lesson that you cannot mix. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. You have to be 100%. So that I learned a great lesson from that. And shortly after that, I met Greg, which was great help. I think God said, oh, let's get her out of this mess, you know.